Well, these last weeks I've been grieving the fact that I'll be moving on. And so when I've been looking at the scriptures, that's the lens which I've been seeing them through. Also, my prayer has also been heavily influenced by these personal events, these current events, if you will. Like it or not, sometimes the Lord asks us to do something or accept something which we didn't plan on, we didn't expect, we didn't bargain on. In the parish cluster over my time here, we've had a lot of adjustments. I know it hasn't always been easy for many of us. So this is just another opportunity, I guess, to say yes to what God offers to us in a difficult moment. For me personally, it gives me a chance, I guess, to put my money where my mouth is and really follow that. All the changes, the different things I've asked you to accept or to trust in, now it's my turn to show you that I too live by faith, not just by sight. So, do you and I trust God enough? Do we allow Him, the Lord, to take something which we hold dear and replace it with whatever He is offering to us instead? It's definitely a chance for me to show the Lord that I do love Him, that I love Him enough to, and trust Him enough to accept this, to be docile to what He puts before me. We all at times we kind of experience that God's ways are not our ways. We experience that. When we are confronted with an event that we can't avoid, the only thing we can do is to ask for the grace to follow Jesus' example, to trust in the Father's love for us. There's definitely the temptation to close my heart, to let it collapse inwards on itself. When we have loved something or given ourselves to something, and then it's taken away, or it dies, or we lose it, or we suffer the pain of loss. And sometimes in a response to that pain, we seal our hearts, we close them off. We don't want to experience the pain, and so to defend ourselves, we close our hearts, and we don't open them anymore. This does offer a measure of protection, right? We probably all have done that to some degree in situations, but it also keeps us from experiencing the love which we are meant to have, which makes us alive and connected to others and to God. In a sense, it closes our emotional connection to new opportunities to love in that same way. Jesus tells his apostles, whoever loves father and mother more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever loves a son or a daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever does not take up his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. Certainly Jesus isn't telling us we shouldn't love, right? I mean, that's one of his greatest commandments, is to love one another. So that's not what he's getting at. So what is he getting at? He wants us to love, but he does mean to tell us that if we love him above everything and everyone, then paradoxically we will find that which we love. We will, that thing that we really love is preserved and returned to us. And actually, if we were to hold on tight or reject what God offers to us, we would eventually lose that thing anyway. That thing that we hold on to, it we hold it as important to us. Only by allowing God to take it from us freely is it preserved. Now, I don't have any illusions that my relationship with the parishes here, the people here, is going to remain the same. It's going to change. It's going to change when I leave. I won't be able to be as present as I have been, and that'll be difficult. But I do hope that what we have begun these last years is only the beginning of what will be shared for eternity. For now, things will be different. And even if I could come back or visit, or when I do visit, if I get a chance to do that, or if you come to Duluth, you're always welcome, it won't be the same. And God seems to be promising that there's something even greater in store for us, for those who accept this surrender of what we hold dear. And that's not just with this situation, it's with any situation in our lives where we're called to surrender. To keep our hearts open is difficult in such moments. It's not easy. But it's essential that we strive to do so in order to be open to receive what God has for us. Part of this process of letting go of my desires, my attachments, it's a purification. It is a purification. This move is hard. It's hard because I've grown comfortable here. I love the people, and it's familiar to me. But it's not like God is asking me to do something impossible, right? Or you. In some way, it's a reminder to hold on to Jesus, because he is that which will remain no matter what. This is a small cross he offers to share with me, so that I'll be ready, and you'll be ready, to grow and change as we need to in order to be ready to enter into life eternal, what is to come. Now, we could reject the cross. I could reject this offer of the cross. I could begin living my life only in the past. Memories are a beautiful thing. Memories of beautiful, wonderful things in our lives are a great thing to hold on to. But they can also hold us captive. They can also be something that we can't get past. I can become more interested in living in the past than being open to what is to come. When we lose something precious to us, it's easy. That's easy to do. It's easy to hold on to that and try to live again in the past. A loved one, our health, our youth, perhaps our financial stability or our success. If we lose these things, we might begin to live in the past and we might want to hold on to those things. When everything was good, when everything was great, when everything was as it should be, we might start to look at the world through that lens. We start to create our own past. And to forget about the things we don't want to remember, right? Well, Father Eli was the one who closed our parish. Father Eli was the one who made us read all the readings at Easter Vigil. Father Eli was the one who didn't let us sing certain songs. We don't remember those things right now, but they happened, right? We don't remember those things. At least I don't. We see what we're giving up. We look at that, what we're leaving behind. All the faces, the people, which have been part of our experience. But you and I, we can't live in the past. We can't live in the past. We're called to live in the future. We have to try our best to be open to this new gift which God is offering to us. It might seem like a cross, and maybe in the beginning it will be, right? I'm sure it won't be easy making this transition either for you or for me. But God is doing something here. He's trying to open us, to change us, to help us come to him in some way. He's doing something in us. This is a major pruning which is happening. But I have to have faith that the Lord is the master gardener, that he knows what he's doing. He understands how to grow us. He's not trying to kill us or harm us. He's doing this for our good. Remember that at one time, you didn't know me and I didn't know you. And that was fine, right? Life was good back in those days. We thought life was great, maybe. I don't know. Maybe your life wasn't going so great before I came. I don't know. But we might look back on that time and remember, okay, things were okay then. And now, a new priest will come and it's going to be okay. We can trust that the Lord wants to do something in us. Can we trust that? I guess that's the question. Do we trust him? Do you want to do something again? Something beautiful, something that's going to change our lives? Can we be open to that possibility of what the Lord wants to do? Whoever finds his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. This change will be hard for me, and I know for some of you too. Maybe someday, maybe I can be a Father George figure, who knows? Maybe, like the couple in the first reading, maybe one of you will build a little house for me someday, I don't know. A little room in their house. I don't know how that's going to work, but who knows? Can't know for sure. But let's keep our hearts open to what the Lord wants to do in our lives, and not be afraid.